Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves. And this is going to be a really cool conversation, you guys. I have a guest. Ellie Avram is joining us, and she is the owner of Drench Partrichand. She also has just started a couple brand new dog clubs. And so we wanted to talk about that because I think it's something that too often we're talking about. There's too many dog clubs, right? And so we want fewer of them, but there's room in different areas for new clubs. And that process can be daunting. And so Ellie's going to join us and talk a little bit about what that was like for her and maybe touch on some of our conversation about the passion that exists in the FSS community. All right, you guys, let's be honest. Sending puppies home is a big milestone. But the questions and follow-ups about potty training, those can be endless. So that's why I'm excited to share something from our partners at Brilliant Pad. It's called the Potty Training Concierge, and it's completely free. Check it. Your buyers get a one-on-one call with a Brilliant Pad expert before the puppy even leaves your house. They walk through setting up a potty area, how to create a consistent schedule, and what to expect those first few days. It's real support tailored to your program that helps new owners feel confident and keeps you from being on call 24/7. So even if you don't use Brilliant Pad yourself, this program still works. If you're looking for a simple way to help your puppy families and protect your time, go check it out. It takes less than a minute to enroll, and it's a game changer for your program. That's brilliantpad.com/potty. Don't forget to tell them Laura sent you. So welcome, Ellie. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Laura. I'm thrilled to be here. Long time listener and fan of Pure Dog Talk.
But is that long time listener or first time caller? Is
that something like that? Although we've crossed paths a couple times in the past.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And actually, I talked with you guys when you were working to create your new parent club for the Drents. And yes. So I thought that was a really interesting process that you guys went through. And so talk to me a little bit first about how you, what are you, 30? I mean, young person, right? Like, we love young people. Yay! Got involved in purebred dogs and what brought you specifically to the Drents.
Yeah. So the long story short here, yep, I'm 30, just turned 30 this year. I got into dogs with a mixed breed, like many young folks have.
Yep.
Started getting interested. I did a CGC class with her and then got interested in rally, and unfortunately quickly ran into the issue where my mixed breed dog was pretty environmentally sensitive and didn't quite have the drive to do what I wanted to do. So I started looking for a well-bred, purebred dog to become my performance sport companion dog. And I always liked sporting breeds and wanted something that was beautiful and versatile and could try a little bit of everything, but could also settle in the home and was also going to be good with kids, because we knew we were going to have kids in this dog's lifetime. And in fact, we now have a 5-week-old daughter.
I was gonna say, you got a baby.
Yep. So sure enough, my Drent has absolutely loved her new little sister and is just waiting for her to get big enough to play.
That's hysterical.
But, yeah. So ended up finding the Drent through various connections. And actually, one of the things that sold me on the breed was a podcast you did with Brian and Jenna O'Connor, bred and raised the puppy that became mine and have been mentors for me and, you know, friends of mine for the years since.
Fantastic. And so you're not even 5 years into this whole lifestyle. We'll just call it the lifestyles of the rich and famous, for lack of a better word. How did you get roped in to starting both a new parent club for your breed and was it a scent work club? Is that what you said down there in Southern California?
Yep. And I'll clarify, the American Danica Patayasan Association is not technically recognized as the parent club yet. We are in process of that. That's the goal, but we're not technically recognized by AKC as a parent club quite yet. And then, yes, the other one is a local scent work club for San Diego County, which is mm-hmm. where I live. Mm-hmm. And I think my story for why I ended up becoming a co-founder for both of those organizations is probably familiar to a lot of folks, particularly young folks. As I got more interested in purebred dogs and in performance sports, I got involved with existing clubs and organizations around me, or in the case of the breed club, the national club. And as I was getting involved, I started to realize that some of the way that things were being done was not necessarily in alignment with my values and interests. And not only that, but I was making connections with other folks in those organizations who felt very similarly. And rather than lean into conflict, which is, I think, unfortunately, what ends up happening a lot in dog clubs, where there ends up being factions.
Girl. Let me talk to you.
Yeah, I think that's familiar to a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. We realize that, you know, as you kind of mentioned, there's space for all of us, and we just want to enjoy the dogs. So what we decided to do in both of those cases was try something new and different. And that's sort of the basic reason why we started both the American Danica Patayasan Association and the Scent Work Club of San Diego. It just happened to be that they started both within a couple months, which was pretty hectic for me for a little bit there. But
like, that's a big lift, Ellie. I'm just going to throw that into it. And talk to me about, because I think this is really interesting. And, you know, I talk all the time about the people in our sport bring to it their other lives. Right. Mm-hmm. And so in your other life, you're a project manager. And correct. So talk about how you bring those things into alignment and the value that you have going forward with some of these organizations you're working with.
Yep. A lot of the key skills of a project manager align really well with working in dog clubs or any volunteer organization, right. frankly. It's a lot of managing process and managing people. Mm. So particularly in founding two new nonprofit organizations, we had to figure out, okay, what is needed in what order and how do we do this most efficiently and most effectively and try our best to get it right the first time? We don't always, but you know, we try
Nobody
to get
gets
it right.
It right the first time every time. It's just a thing, man.
Nope, never. But you know, then how do we pivot if we need to? Mm-hmm. How do we evaluate our options and pick what might be the best and then, you know, potentially change if we need to? And then the managing people side is, in a volunteer organization, nobody's getting paid for this. We're all doing it because we love it, yeah. ideally, right?
Right.
And but people are busy. They have lives. They have families. They have their real jobs. How do you capitalize on people's skill sets and their passion without burning them out and building community at the same time?
Girl, I want you to answer that right now in 100 words or less.
I wish
saying
I
that right there is the secret sauce, dude.
I wish I had the full secret sauce. I think we've had things that have worked and things mm-hmm. that have not worked. But recognizing that the intent of everybody is good is, I think, the basic approach that I try to take is everyone's doing their best or wants to do their best. How can you help people achieve that is what I try to do.
I love this. I love this. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think that it is the benefit of someone like yourself who's starting fresh, right? You don't have the baggage that some of us have where we're just sure that whatever, right? Like pick a thing. Mm-hmm. Aunt Betty's out to get me because back in 1972, I beat her at the specialty, right? I promise yep. you, I promise you this is how 90% of the stuff goes down. Okay, so sorry, I just live in it right now. It would be fantastic if you could walk us through just like the process, right? The process piece, because it's a big lift for even someone like yourself with a skill set to do this sort of thing. So the process piece, and then I want to hear like, you know, what I learned at school today, right? Like what you got from this process.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I'll say is I absolutely could not have done either of those two clubs without support from various other people who also were involved as co-founders, right? In both cases, we had a group of, you know, 5 to 8 people who came together to kind of deal with all this tedious stuff of getting your articles of incorporation for your state submitted, submitting for 501c designation with the IRS, writing constitution and bylaws. Now that is dry work.
Hard. It is. I've been involved in just, you know, like amending old bylaws, just trying to add in things like she along with he and you know, like digital stuff. Like really, it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So having that group of people who are committed to doing the tedious work at the beginning so that we could move efficiently and effectively to the having fun part was really, really important. And splitting up that work and leaning on people's different experiences. And I have the fresh eyes potentially, and I can add that value, but we have people in both the American Drent Association and the Scentwork Club who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. And having their perspective as well is especially valuable and important.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Hey, you guys, does your dog have itchy, like sensitive skin? If so, think about trying the new ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews. This supplement is specially made to support dogs' skin health, including conditions like sensitive skin and seasonal allergies. ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews feature collagen, EPA and DHA, vitamin E and zinc to support the dog's skin health. Omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids help maintain the natural skin protective barrier. Vitamin E provides antioxidant support, while zinc offers immune support. So look for the National Animal Supplement Council quality seal on the package that certifies that skincare soft chews meet the highest quality and compliance standards for pet supplements. They also taste great and are easy to add to your dog's daily feeding routine. ProPlan's Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews are available via the My Purina app or by visiting purina.com/mypurinaapp, where you earn points on every purchase. You can also buy it online at Chewy and Amazon and in stores at Petco. Okay, I want to do this whole philosophical thing of the world seems to be in a place of building, you know, like Phoenix from the ashes and a lot of these things, but I'm not going to go off on a tangent. So working with the American Kennel Club on both of these instances, what did you find helpful from AKC and where did you find barriers and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, there's a great resource. The AKC has a Parent Club Best Practices Committee that put together a whole bunch of webinars and written resources that are not just useful for parent clubs, but also were useful for founding a sport club as well. Mm-hmm. Those, I believe, can be found on the AKC website. If you just Google Parent Club Best Practices Committee, it should come up. So those resources were very helpful. There were still gaps that needed to be filled and things, you know, we had to figure out on our own, but it's at least a really good place to start of like, here are the things you should be considering when starting a club. Also, just reaching out early to contacts at AKC, both in the official sense, like the head of the Scentwork Department, the head of the FSS, right? And just making them aware of what we're doing and what our goals are, and where possible, speaking to them on the phone or, you know, over video call to kind of get their feedback early on was really helpful. It can be a challenge at times to get a hold of folks over there, but, you know, just being patient and consistent and
Part of it is the time zone. I'm telling you, part of it is the time zone. Like living on the West Coast, it can be a challenge.
Yeah, that was certainly part of it. Having to do calls like in the middle of the workday with folks. Yeah, it's definitely challenging. And sometimes the requirements for recognition or licensure by AKC are not necessarily the clearest. And I believe even recently you had a podcast with another individual in FSS on how those requirements recently changed. But, you know, trying to understand what the AKC's goals are with their requirements, like what are they trying to achieve and what are they trying to protect and what are they trying to help the club set up properly can be really helpful in doing your best to meet those requirements, even when they're a little bit vague or they're changing at times. Mm-hmm. That was my experience anyway.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I've talked about it. My interaction with the open shows and the FSS community is this is so much where the youth and the passion and the excitement for the future is in our sport when compared to so many of our, you know, more established breeds and the people in them, you know, that it's just so much more gatekeeping. And so talk about utilizing that in this endeavor of creating these new spaces for people to move forward.
Yeah. I've only ever had an FSS breed, so I can't speak to necessarily the,
the culture. I'm just drawing it out there. I'm just saying.
But yes, that's what I've, you know, heard. And my experience in FSS particularly has been fantastic. I think that across the different breeds, everyone's in it for the same reason. We want to see these breeds preserved and thriving in the U.S. or worldwide, whichever is the case. And in my experience as well, with the Drent, you know, and I'm sure this is the case with the other FSS breeds as well, we can't afford to gatekeep. There's not enough dogs right now. We need to be sustainably growing the population, but we need to be growing the population of these dogs. And we need to be welcoming all different types of people, new people, people who've been in purebred dogs for a long time, people who just want a pet, people who want, you know, a nice hunting dog, or people who are interested in showing performance sports, whatever it may be. We need all those people in order for the breed to be sustained here in the U.S. and then worldwide as well. You know, in the scent work side of things, I think there's just a lot of excitement in scent work generally.
Man, I'm telling you, that is like a booming, you know, I think personally, I think it's because they have such a cool name for their top thing. Like everybody in the world wants a detector dog. Like I just,
Yep.
I want a detector dog. Like, I just think it's cool.
Yep. We're working on that scent work detective title with Iris, my Drent, right now. But yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to call her scent work detective title dog for sure.
I mean, come on, branding. That has to be a Doug Lundgren thing. Good job, Doug. I just, it's fantastic. And so what are your, if you had three suggestions or five suggestions or whatever, takeaways, right, in terms of what you learned through the process of doing this process?
Yeah. The first one is setting some sort of alignment with the founding folks early. So whether that's putting together a mission, vision, and pillars, which is what we did for the ADPA, and getting alignment on that, or writing a list of objective statements, which is what we did for the Scentwork Club. You know, just having that information written down clearly, really talking it through with those founding individuals and making sure everyone's on the same page was really helpful, not only in reducing potential future conflict, but also in just focusing what our activities and initiatives are going to be, right? Again, volunteer organization, limited resources, money, time, whatever it may be. You got to focus on what's going to be the most impactful with the least amount of effort to accomplish what your goals are. So making sure you have clarity on those goals was really important for both of those clubs. The second thing, you know, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but just assuming that everybody is in it for the right reasons. Maybe that's coming from my naivete as a, you know, relatively new person.
Like, how do we, I don't know. I want to, what's that thing from like Men in Black? I like want to zap everybody's brains and like do a reset and start over so that we can take away so much of the existing angst that is part and parcel of every single club I'm involved with. I fall prey to it. So the beauty of that, my like out to the world request is, can we all just start with a blank slate and see where we go?
Yeah, for sure. In my opinion, you know, it's never going to be all sunshine and rainbows, right? It's
two people are passionate. You've got a conflict, right?
Yeah. But my theory has always been it should be at least 51% fun. Right. It should be fun at least the majority of the time. And if it's not, you know, that's when, you know, you look at other opportunities of finding ways to get back to having fun with your dogs, because that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, 100%. OK, so being transparent and getting everything down in writing, assuming good motives for everyone. What's your third one?
Building community is definitely really important, and that looks differently, you know, based on what type of organization you're trying to build, right? So the biggest contrast between the ADPA and the Scentwork Club is the Drent Club, you know, it's a national organization. We have a scattering of people all across the US and some in Canada. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have in-person events, but it's difficult, right? And maybe happens once a year. So really leaning into virtual events, social media, finding ways to connect people regionally to facilitate those in-person connections was really something that we've tried to work really hard on for the ADPA. A little easier for the Scentwork Club because it's based in the same local area, but still making sure that you have those opportunities to build community and have people connect over our shared passions, but also connect as people outside of that was really valuable in building up the both organizations.
I mean, this is a conversation that many much more established clubs have, which is, why does someone want to join your box, right? Like, pick whatever the box is. Why does someone want to pay you money and donate their time? Like, what's in it for them? And so talk to me through that, like building membership in a club, what you put out there as your like identifiable deliverables.
Yeah, and this is definitely an ongoing challenge for both clubs, particularly the Breed Club. The Scentwork Club's a little more straightforward, right? We can offer members events.
Right.
Right, yeah. But the National Breed Club, what do we offer to Drent owners? And sometimes a lot of it is the community, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I think most people, particularly folks who are not necessarily as in deep as some of us are in terms of dogs and sports and showing and all that, like the average pet home, for example. What do they want? They want to connect with other people over how much they love their dog, right? So how can we facilitate that? Those are things that we've tried to do for the ADPA.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is, again, and I'm involved with multiple national clubs, local clubs, Albury clubs, you name it. And we all run into the same problems. And so finding new and innovative ways to fix those. Do you offer online education? Do you offer, you know, a members only thing? What is your deliverable to the people that you're asking to pay you $20 a year, $50 a year, whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Something that we've tried with ADPA is having social hours, virtual social hours. So we'll get people together and particularly we'll try to have some sort of game or some sort of activity that we can all do together so that it's not just everyone staring at each other on camera. So one time we played Drent Jeopardy.
Right. Like after dark that we do for the patrons. And I mean, that is something that I think is really, really valuable as an asset as you build community is being there with people to laugh, to cry, have an adult beverage, not have to drive after your adult beverage. You know what I'm saying? Like all of those things, I think, make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so talk to me a little bit, and this is, I think this is really more of a in the weeds thing, but I think it's really useful. Which 501c category did you use for the two clubs, and are they the same or different, and why?
Okay, so that's a really good question, and I'll preface this. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a specialist in any of this, so this is based
It's just a really useful thing that, I mean, I know people that have done foundations for health studies and stuff like that. So walk us through what you encountered, because I think it's useful anecdotal information.
Mm-hmm. So what we learned was it's very challenging nowadays to get the IRS to designate a dog club is a 501c3, which is unfortunate because you get a lot of benefits if you're a 501c3. You know, it's cheaper to get website hosting. It's cheaper to get email addresses. It's cheaper to do a million different things if you can say, hey, I'm a 501c3. We were able, actually, to get the Scentwork Club recognized as a 501c3.
Oh,
and
wow.
The way we went about that is not only are we a Scentwork Club, you know, hosting Scentwork trials and doing Scentwork workshops and things like that, we have made it a specific objective of the club to give back to the local police department canine units, the TSA canine unit for San Diego Airport, the local search and rescue canine team, right? So we're giving them financial resources and the time resources in terms of volunteers and connecting them with folks. And because of that, we were able to go for a 501c3 designation.
Love that. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yep. For the ADPA, we landed on a 501c7, which is a social club. The challenge with that is that you can only get a certain percentage of your income not from membership dues. So up to 35% of your income can come from non-membership dues. That can be limiting, but we didn't really expect that we were going to be making a ton of money, you know, in the future hosting shows or whatever it is we decided to do.
Just break even, man. Just break even.
Right. Network, on the other hand, you know, trials actually tend to make money, at least in our region. So we knew we were going to be limited with a 501c7. I know the other option, if people are interested in looking into it, is a 501c4.
C4 was the one I'm familiar with. Yep. So tell me why you did not go with that.
We didn't feel that we could meet the requirements for a C4. I believe a C4, if I remember correctly, is like a lobbying group or similar. That's what it's, you know, titled as.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we felt that a C7 social club made more sense for the Drent Club anyway.
Interesting. Interesting. There's so much detail in this stuff that I love to kind of like just to every now and then dig down into the weeds on some of it.
Yeah. I wish I had more expertise on those particular ones. That was just something that we did the best we could.
That was
and
good.
Got designated. So we're good now.
I like it. I like it. So overall experience moving forward, just like final question in closing, again, you're brand new to this whole thing. 5 years. We say most people make it to 5 years and drop out. You made it to 5 years and lunged forward. So I love
that. Does that make you crazy? Maybe. I don't know.
No, I love it. I like bow to it. Okay. But what I'm saying is, what was the thing? What was the trigger that took you from 5 years and out, which is what happens so often, and 5 years and I'm going to take charge and go forward? What was it that tripped your trigger?
It was the people for me. I think I've been very fortunate in that, you know, while I've certainly run into the occasional bad apple or person that I just frankly don't get along with, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you have people that you don't get along with. That's fine. I've been very fortunate to have, you know, mentors and connections and peers, both in my breed, the Drentse Partijsond, and in scent work, that have been just fantastic, that have supported me and encouraged me, have listened to my ideas. You know, I really tried to come in as well, particularly knowing that I'm new, with a listening and trying to learn approach. And I think that was received well. And then as those connections grew, you know, my ideas began to come into play as well. But just, you know, that balance of, you know, bringing the fresh perspective as well as recognizing that there's a ton of value from the folks that have been part of this for forever. And
we can't do it that way because we tried it that way 20 years ago and we didn't.
Exactly. Like, I might have what I think is a great idea, but then we tried that and it didn't work. Okay, well, let's try something else then.
Or maybe it'll work now because it didn't then, because we're going to do this one thing different. Right. I think exactly. It's just, honey, I live this daily. It's just so hard.
Yeah, sure.
But that's why I thought this was a super interesting and valuable conversation for all the people to hear, both the new people who are trying to be involved and we're not going to say old, we're going to say experienced people who've been around for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we have a bad tendency to get kind of stuck in our ways. And so I think that this is a super enlightening and valuable conversation for all the parties involved. So thank you, Ellie. Thanks. I really appreciate your time. Good luck with your new baby.
Thank you very much.
All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.